This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so we're holding here. We had started Perek Vav before, but I got a little, time-wise, I got mixed up in the Seder Prakim, so we'll start again. It won't hurt. Hine, Ha'odin Baruch Hu Mashkiach, Terminal Kol Bri Yosef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach on his Briyos. Umekaimum umelalom kifiatachle shebavoye bro'am. And he is mekaim and menahalem kifiatachle shebavoye bro'am. So let's take a look at the two points that he means to say. The general sense of Hashkoche is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is needed on a constant basis. For instance, if I make a table and I sell it, I sure hope I don't need to go keep checking if the table still stands or not. It's not a problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still HaKadosh Baruch Hu is needed constantly, and that's the famous Nefesh HaChayim, that because it's a bria and it's something which Be'etzem does not have its own existence. It needs an input concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one element of Hashkoche is Mekaimam. The second one, Menahalam, I would like to focus more a little bit. The Rambam in Halachas, in Yesod HaTorah, when he speaks about how do I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's the Shaila he deals with. And the Rambam's proof or direction is that he's being that the galgal is constantly in motion. That what the Rambam means by galgal is their picture of what kept the heavenly bodies going was a sort of a wheel of sorts, and they're constantly in motion. And the Rambam says that nothing can be in constant motion unless something is pushing it, therefore Bal Korchach the Masir Bansha. That's the Rambam's reasoning to prove that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have a klotz kasha to ask. I mean, everything in the world that exists, we can ask the same question. Where did a rock come from? Where did wood come from? Where did anything come from? Everything needs a cause. So just like everything in the world needs a cause. Well, what did the Rambam pick this one thing? The Rambam picked the orbit of the planets and so on and so forth. Yes, it's one of the many phenomena that exist in the world that need a creator, not more than the Cham itself, the Levon itself. It needs a Borei Olam. So, I believe that the Rambam is looking to pin down the Ribbono Shel Olam not only as something that was needed in creation, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an ongoing player in the world. That's something that was it gives us a much better picture of what the Ribbono Shel Olam is than just saying a creator. So they needed to have a picture of something that's ongoing in the Bria that you can see. And we see constant motion of the Gromei Shamayim, and therefore, that's where the Rambam came from. So here also, he says, Mekaimam Umenahalam. Menahalam means ongoing interaction and motion. By the way, I have just an interesting observation to share. The Rambam has been shver the last few hundred years, because that line of reasoning no longer, we don't think, is true anymore. Aristotle posited that anything in motion must have something to keep it in motion. Newton said it's not true, that everything that is in motion, anything in motion will remain in motion unless stopped. And that's why a car skids, and that's why a rocket ship flies, v'chein hala v'hala, and therefore anything that's in motion doesn't require constant motion. Okay, not terrible, not the end of the world. The Rambam was going with whatever science was current and made a lot of sense. It's not a chazal or whatever. But the truth is, let's move up the argument to the 21st century. Today we understand the following, that motion remains a motion unless something stops it, and inertia keeps things in motion. However, acceleration requires something to accelerate it. That is the way we understand things today, and it bears itself out in everyday life and so on. One of the things, I mean, Hubble's telescope discovered, not today's Hubble's, good old Hubble, Edwin Hubble, discovered that the world is expanding in acceleration. In other words, it's not the pshat. If the world would be expanding, there would not be any issue with it. So whatever the first explosion happened somewhere, so these are still debris falling out. I mean, you make an explosion, things keep flying. That's not, but it's accelerating, and we know that nothing can accelerate unless there's a force pushing it. Where is that force? It's an incredible puzzle. I don't like jumping to the gun about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it is an incredibly puzzling situation. It's against everything we know. There's not enough force in the world to move that. You're talking about the entire world is moving. What's the engine? What's it going on?
Science.
What?
What about nuclear science? That's what the basis of nuclear science is. Things are accelerate by itself.
Not by itself. You need to add something to the mix, and then create reactions that keep feeding each other. But it's clearly mapped out. There's nothing in the world that we know of that can give it. I don't like to put all my eggs in the science basket, but actually, yeah, it's a fascinating thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menahel the world. And this is kefi hataklis habavura brom. When you say that you're moving something, well, in line with what? To let things sit, they just sit. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving it, where is he moving it to? So if the answer would be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responding to our mitzvahs and averis, in a certain sense, that would be a reaction. That wouldn't be HaKadosh Baruch Hu being menial the world. We're menial the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu executes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is menial the world kefi ha-tachlis shabavur amvram, in line with the tachlis that he created it for. So when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being menial the world, we need to ask ourselves to what? And that means that there's a tachlis for where it's going to. Ve'omnam. Biyoishin is yachid hamin anushi. Lias was, yes.
Isn't that the basis of the Ramchal where he talks about Ahavis HaMishpat and Ahavis HaMishpat?
Yes, and this is the basis, and we'll see soon. And the first thing he's going to explain is, what we're referring to in this Menalem is really Ahavis HaYichud. We might have a share in it, but it's going to HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to go. And that, so when we ask ourselves, what is Hashkacha? Hashkacha doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on. That's part of something. Hashkacha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is moving the world forward to realize the tachlis that he set for it. But omnom. Now, once we say it going to the tachlis, there's going to be a distinction. Biyoishen is yachir amin anushi. Being that the mina nushi was nisyached to aschar and einish, only us. So there's going to be a difference in hashkach between us and shaminim. Vizeh ki hashkach b'shaminim hu lekiyum amina hu ba'oisim achukim v'agvulim sh'atzo yisbarach shmai. So. In man, if schar and einish are the tachlis adam, or better said, the schar is tachlis adam, and whatever good HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, that's individual. It affects the whole world, yes, but each and every person's, you can't hide behind somebody else. So Bal Korchach HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha is for every prat. Because at the end of the day, we do mitzvahs and averes as individuals. Yes, we can be mitzvah for a rabbim, and we can, you know, it's better a rabbim that is a mitzvah, but at the end of the day, we still are dealing with a rabbim, with a yachid. In minim, in animals, we don't need to have there is no specific tachlis of schar and einish, so sachakol we only need some element of the animal for the kiyum ha'adam or the rest of the bria. Or indirectly, in other words, you need to have a certain insect so that a certain animal could eat it, so that the other animal could eat it, and so on. So he says, Tashkochen, all other beings are the kima min. Vehine yashgiach befrote kol min vemin lemashemagim el klal min kuloi. Tashkochen, each prat is tolui in the klal min. Achloi lemashem ishim. Kine tasmel ashem sakloi. So let's try to diffuse to understand something that kind of gets very, very cloudy and fuzzy and so on and so forth. There's a Heiliger song from Avram Fried about the little ant that the wind came and blew a leaf to cover a little caterpillar or something that needed to fall asleep. And who are we to argue with Avram Fried and a song that has become a very, very chashuv song? So by Chassidim, they push this idea of there's not a, that if a blade of grass fell off a wagon, it was there to cover a little ant. That's a Shkach HaPratis, and we don't believe in the Rishonim, in the Chinuch, and so on, and the Ramban, and all of those who said that there is no Shkach HaPratis on Shkach HaMinis. That is one angle. I remember in the good old days when there was the really, really big machlokes for Rav Shach and Chabad, and they Chabad would spend thousands of dollars every week putting out magazines knocking him. So one terrible, shocking revelation about Rav Shach was that this Erlich Yid who wrote the article was once in a Sfarim store many, many years ago, and in walked a Yid, and when somebody said something about this store, about the Hashgacha on every blade, he said, it's nonsense, and it's shtusim avolim. And this poor Erlich Yid was very shocked, and when he went out, he asked the storekeeper, who's this person? He said, he's a Rosh Hashiva, his name is Rav Shach. So he was already in Apikoris in a very, very long time before. That was the part of the story. But B'cholzeis, I mean, Mele Rav Shach, but the Chinuch and others. So it's a mistake. The whole thing is a mistake in understanding it. And he says it here in one word, in two words. If somebody will say that the reason why that we can understand the tachlis of that leaf is to cover that ant because the ant needs a good night's sleep and the ant deserves it or doesn't deserve it, whatever it is, if it has anything to do with that ant, it's shtusim vavolim. It is. The Baal Shem Tov never could have meant it, and it's nonsense. There is somebody asked, at least the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, if dogs can have Olam Haba, something is higher the world to come, and he said absolute rubbish, whatever it is, and so on. But the world is extraordinarily complex, and you know, for a bee to sting you, there's a reason. Whatever it is, a person suffered a steeping, there's a reason for it. To get the bee to sting you might require 10,000 steps. He couldn't find honey here, someone beat him there, whatever. Everything in the world is orchestrated, but you cannot understand it in terms of a tachlis for any particular, anybody but Adam. Only Adam is a tachlis. Now, also people together form together units to be the bigger units and to be Klal Yisrael, Mishpacha, Shevet, so on and so forth. But it is appropriate to say, if we ask ourselves why did this hurricane come, a person can get up and say B'shalia Sarazeh. It is one of the Yonah Vashkacha that we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu does things for Yechidim as well, and so on. For a Baal Chai, doesn't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses Baal Chayim, and therefore the story with that ant being covered up is not didn't finish over there. If it finished over there, it's Shtusim Vavolim. It went on because the ant had to go in and do X, Y, Z, who knows what. Yes.
Relevant to animals, essentially, have Ashkacha Pratis just because it's going to come to.
So that's not called Ashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word Klolos or Pratis is destination, not activity, but destination. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the world, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates the world whenever you orchestrate something, you need a tachlis. If the entire hoo-ha, it's like what they call the Rube Goldberg machines, where you have a whole complicated machine that basically does nothing. It, you know, it turns on a light bulb. It's just sticky stuff. There is no tachlis. So when I talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha, I'm making a statement more than he did it. I'm saying he did it for something. By a person, I could say for me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated something to save the life of a person who was stuck in a flood someplace. And yes, there was a shkach that he lived, for whatever reason it is. It could range from a schar for mitzvah did, to ma'abed, a son of Alpanov, to teach people, whatever it is. But I can dehera tachlis in this person's self. If a dog was saved from a flood, miraculously, that's half of the story. It has to be for some other tachlis. That will be nogea. It might be nogea what people see in the picture. I don't know. Whatever it is, it has nothing to do with the dog. The dog is a chetimtza. That's the difference.
And also, when we say Ashkacha Pratis, what do we mean exactly? Hashem is changing the tabat.
No. Akash Baruch Hu is guiding the Bria. The pieces are being put into place by Akash Baruch Hu. So when things happen to a person, the person needs to understand somebody is doing something for you. Somebody is. It's not. It didn't happen. It was put into your way. Sometimes we understand it. Sometimes not.
Let's say the leaf falling. Either the leaf was loose that the wind should pull it down, or was it? That it shouldn't make more wind dafka so that it should fall down.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's a tough one because I don't know. It may also have been. Just there's a normal amount of shaking that goes on and so on. But if it was an unusual thing that happened by itself, and happened in a kind of strange way, where one feels he sees Yad Hashem, but that Yad Hashem is not focused on the animal. That doesn't explain the Yad Hashem. That's the technique, but that's not the Tachlis Adava.
Also, what's the earliest makar for the nafkamina between Pratis and Klolos? Is that the Ramban?
The Rambam, I believe. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says that nafkamina. I believe he's the earliest makar. Maybe Reb Sadigar, I haven't checked. I mean, the only earlier makar is Reb Sadigar, and it could be. I'd have to look at it. Not now.
Is there a tefillah that we say Shalei Hashem Goya Rotzois?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it's referring to?
No, well, we finished Shemesh Nachmel of the Rick. In other words, it's Aleinu Shabbat is a kolistic shevach that we would nifchar to be Tayyim from Torah and so on. I don't think we're expressing Ashkach in that way. We're expressing it just that, you know, Akash Baruch Hu gave it, you know, helped us be born.
Okay, so where it says. It says,
I'm like, okay. So again,
we're going to understand every single blade. What's the pshat? Why this blade of grass? Why the malach? What the pshat is? It's a general thing. blades of grass are controlled by malachim for general purposes.
Correct. 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 A malach doesn't have a destination. A malach has a malach does as a job. Let's take an example.
Is that every individual blade that has a malach?
It says, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the implication that is, but it does mean a malach is a force that milamala. In other words, every event that happens lamata, it started with a certain sherish lamala. That's what it means. It means that the worlds are parallel, and therefore, just like Yaakov Avinu, when he was fighting Esav here, he was fighting Sarish Esav. Everything in this world is parallel to another world. So b'meila, everything has every gedila, every tzmicha, every move forward in the bria needs to have a malach. It needs to come from someplace. Malach, mazolus, but there are hashkacha. A malach is only here and now. A malach is not. A malach doesn't set any. Imagine like in a company, the owner sets the goals of the company. The workers are there to make sure it happens, but they don't have any input really on the goal of the company. So it's the same thing here also. The malachim give a certain eretimtza. But Akadosh Baruch Hu sets us Akadosh Baruch Hu and people v'kayach abchira. So the Ashkocha is not what's negia to everyone, but not to them as individuals. It's one of those things, you know, that when things become perverted and distorted. I once read somewhere a manifest for a code of ethics for animal treatment. I believe it said something along the lines that every animal deserves a name. So that's hefech of what he's saying. A name means you stand as a specific person, as a specific entity with b'shvili nivroilam. Cows as a general bria are needed, and therefore our Kaddish Baruch Hu keeps cows in the world. Why it was easy for him to kill off this cow and make this cow live, that's all shyless of what's a more effective process. It has nothing to do with the schar or inish of the cow itself. There's no such world of that. So the tachlis of it is that.
What about Be'eliyo? That it says that over there that the
Arvim?
They didn't want to go because it was going to go for Benazari. He whispered in his ear and told them that he's going for.
That's dumb. It's something that needs to be understood actually, because as far as we're concerned, animals don't have chir, don't have yedia, they don't know. Well, what are Chazal telling you with that? Animals don't have yedia and bechira. I mean, you find a handful maybe. Bederecha, we understand that l'mashal chamar shapinches ben yoyer. Chamar shapinches ben yoyer is not to be understood as a mailin that chamar. That chamar was a miyuchadik chamar. It was a mile in Pinchas Beyoyer that even his chamoyer was affected by it. Let's say somebody owns a dog, and the person is cruel and vicious and mean and sadistic, the dog will probably pick up a lot of those character traits. If the person is gentle and this and that, the dog will probably pick up. And it's, so chamoyer of Pinchas Beyoyer was a mile in Pinchas Beyoyer that he was such a zoyer that even his chamoyer, it's just like Your goof is also very physical. You can have a very spiritual neshama, and your goof just keeps doing what it wants to do. A person whose neshama is very powerful will leave a mark on the goof, and that's the same thing is true by the Baal HaChaim. That's how we look at it. So he says, "Omnam hamina nushi kol ish v'ish mimenu." Every single person, milvad mashegim and a klolos amin. Besides the fact that we all form a min boifin kloli, and it mitstarif. Hine yashgiach beyichud amashu ifne atzmoi, v'yudnu maisef kulam beyichud, v'yigazov gzeres beyichud kishvot sinyori. A person has a potistik a din, he stands ledin privately. There is a hashkacha that is nagea him, And everything, because there's a tachlis in each person, each person that was created has his tachlis, there will be hashkacha that will be very similar to it. So we have both dinim. We have certain inyanim we need as a klal, and certain gzeiros we can write up, like a gather of kim shnit and shus lamashchis lahashchis. That's one way of looking at it. But we, as private people, also have a tachlis. Bishvili nivra oilam. Every single person, every single yachid is a world could have been created for him. So I can understand things that I go through, both in terms of me as a yachid and me as a member of a tzibur. V'tzorah
sh'teida. He's saying that guy also has a kach pratus.
I believe he's not mechalik. There's obviously a less of a darga between a guy and Klal Yisrael, in a sense that everything about him, he's there's less mitzvahs, there's less inyanim. So I don't know exactly how to be marked that hashgacha, but it's somewhere between the two. He is a prat, he is a yachid. I mean, the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to love that all amim will turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'sof ha-brura v'yav d'shev shechem echad. So they're all there's a tachlis in everybody be mark HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yeda kol pol kata fa'alto v'yavim kol yisur kata yitzartoy. If they're Balei Chayim, then what's the point of it? They don't need the dogs to recognize it. It's people. So they are people, and they just have less hashgacha. There's another, I guess to be mashing the Indian a little bit, there's another knach that...
What does it mean of less hashgacha? The Amish is doing things for him or not doing things for him?
So, in all of these things, we need to define it in terms of what we can learn up from those maisim. In other words, how much is it appropriate for me to see it in terms of me or havayas ha'olam? What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does kishlatzma, it really almost makes no difference to us, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything, and if he wanted to do something, he would do something. So whether it happens quote unquote b'mikra, or it happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it specially through teva, what's really, really nage is my perspective. I have things that happen to me, good things, not such good things. How do I look at those things? How do I take them, how many sechas to it? I want to add another hagadara of the word hashgacha. And a problem with a lot of these things is because, you use it in different contexts, and then you ask akasha on one and over another. The Rambam Mor Nevuchim speaks, he goes on the Shir Shel Pugoyim, and he says, Yeshua B'Seisa is called Shir Shel Pugoyim in the Gemara in the Mishnah. And the Rambam says, he defines a word hashgacha. And again, it's not the pshat that he takes our word hashgacha and he says you're touching it wrong. He defines another type of hashgacha, which means intervention. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervening in the Bria to take care of his people. So the Rambam says it depends on two items. One is your general sense of your general level of tzidkus. The closer a person is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemir ragli chasidov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more inclined to do things that are out of the getter of teva to save you. Two, what the person is doing b'shas maisa while the event is happening. Is he davuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shas maisa? So a person who's on a very high madrega, when he is davuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no fall harms him, no harm befalls him. And this is like the Gemara with Rava that he was learning, and the Machmos couldn't get to him, davuk HaMelech. All of these maisim indicate the same thing, that when there is, if the person is davuk, it's fascinating that everybody says it over from the Nefesh HaChaim, which is true. Nefesh HaChaim brings it as a skula and so on. It is a Rambam Mor Nevuchim. I always wondered if they didn't see it, they just didn't want to quote the Moreh Nevuchim. But that's what he says it. He speaks about Yeshua B'Seisel, and that's the Shesh HaPkoim, and he explains, those are the two Yesedis. So that's the use of the word Hashgacha in a different way than he's using it. It's Hashgacha in terms of intervening to save somebody. It's a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the world, but it's a very, very different context than that. So a lot of times when people ask these questions on Hashgacha, it happens because of a mix-up of the terminology and mishmash of terminology. But I think, referring back to a point that you had made before, we need to bear in mind that we're always talking about how do we label this. You know, what is our label to it? Let's give a mashal. Imagine you have a doctor. So there are illnesses that are labeled that we know are caused by bacteria, virus, etc. And the label is very important. Caused by an outside agent, because that means we have treatments for it, or ways that prevent it, and so on. There are other machlis that we don't know if it's caused by an agent or not. You know, all sorts of chronic illnesses, they've always tried to figure out maybe some sort of infective agent, and some they've actually found. So when I was growing up, an ulcer was considered to be a natural, sort of an auto disease of sorts, and then we found out it's bacteria. But imagine if the doctor doesn't know, then basically for him, is it a bacterial disease or natural disease? It's a pretty moot point, because there's nothing. What's he going to do? Does it make a difference much? So Hashgacha is not about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is everything, everywhere, all the time. It doesn't. It makes no difference. It makes a difference to me in terms of how do I perceive these events. Is there a message? How strong of a message? What does he want? What's Hakadosh Baruch Hu telling me? Whatever it is that you're feeling over there, then it makes a difference. What am I supposed to mishnah Hakadosh Baruch Hu? We don't get up and not, you know, the Birchas Hashachar are focused around us. We don't say things on Sidrashal Oilam. We don't know about Koshis for Sidrashal Oilam. There's Shvachim, but there's no Bakoshis. Because there's a certain getter of Sidrashal Oilam. So there needs to be self, you know, how a person is looking at himself. And that's important how to catalog Hashgacha. And Kalpa Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, it's almost meaningless Shaila. Is the Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it automatic, or he keeps doing it? What does it mean he keeps doing it? He doesn't push things. So if he made it and it goes by itself, that's not him. It's very hard, because since we don't know what we're talking about when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't say much intelligent stuff about him when we try to ask these questions. But for us, it is important. What should a person do? You find some of the stories that's like very big tzaddikim. When something happened to them, a quote-unquote accident, they were very distraught, because their feeling was it shouldn't have happened to them. And if it happened to them, somebody is sending them a message. Okay, I'm going to hold it here. Any quick questions? Anything?
I have a quick question.
By the way, before I forget, next Wednesday, Be'ez Hashem, it should be okay to learn. I'll then be gone like somewhere through Wednesday. I'm going to Etzel, my turn to go to Israel. So I'm leaving on the 19th and coming back on the 3rd, which basically gives me three Wednesdays basically there. The question is, I could try to be makdim if another night works on the week of Bishalach. This is Shmois, Ve'er al Bia boy. I'm getting it wrong. Shmois is this week. I'm here. Ve'era, I'm going to be here. Mitzvah Hashem. Boy, I will also be here. Bishalach and Yisro and part of Mishpatim, I'll be in Yisro. So if you have some, if an early night on that work on that week of Bishalach works, I'm game for that. If not, Try say, you know, try something else. Well, actually, just take a vacation. Try to go skiing or whatever. And, you know, and Jonathan's cheshvin. You can treat Olam to what's the nearest ski place to Lakewood?
But earlier that week should work for all.
So a Tuesday or Monday pasture should work for me. This what time is ideal for Eilam? I could start to a little bit better. Is later? In other words, I have to be in yeshiva by 9:30. That I used to have to be earlier. Is 8:45 to 9:30 better, or it doesn't make a difference? Doesn't really.
It was just today because it was a little. We weren't sure what time. To be here, so we,
okay, fine. But in general, that's my room for last month. I have to be in Shiva much earlier, but this way I have to be around 9:30. So whatever works for Ilam.
Is 8:45 better for you?
Makes no difference. No, I'd want to keep it to 8 o'clock if that works.
Okay.
Just a quick question. Sure.
I'm sorry. What?
Last pair can bear a good one.
Yeah.
So the Maral talks about the. He says. It's a parak where he talks about the idea of people suppressing others from asking questions.
Yeah.
And he encourages, he says, any question should be asked, and every question should be answered. He says that people suppressing questions because they don't have the answers is something that's unacceptable.
Yeah. So
it evidently is not very popular in today. Does something change?
First of all, I wonder if the Maral wrote it. I assume that was not the popular stance. So you know, it's you know, you only write a thing that's a chiddush. So my assumption was, it's. I don't know what to tell you. You know.
What's interesting is this is the closing of probably the most complex sefer that the Maral wrote.
Well, he's dealing with the Agadatas, which is really what he wanted to do in his Sfarim.
Yeah, that's true. But he, you know, after he basically wipes the floor with a number of different personalities at different times.
Right.
You know, saying things that were unacceptable.
Right.
At the end of the day, he says, "Well, but you know, but if you have any questions, make sure you should be open about it and ask those questions.
Right.
You have a good answer."
Right. He doesn't. He does not accept bad answers. That is also correct. I don't know what to tell you. It's. I don't know. You know. Whatever. Okay. Say that. Take care. Good night. Bye.